Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Jesus emphasized it is important to treat others in the same way you want to be treated. While the golden rule is a spiritual law, it doesn't save anyone, because only repentance and faith in Jesus brings salvation. The Son of God emphasized that the road to heaven is narrow in comparison to the broad road that leads to hell. The God-man warned that false prophets would arise and convince many to follow them. This is confirmed by the number of world religions in existence today. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm happy that you are here with us today. And we're going to be talking today about the Golden Rule. And I'm sure that you heard about the Golden Rule. The Freemasons love it. But we're going to be talking about it. Let me pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you for helping me to share this message about the Golden Rule. And also about other things, Father God, that Jesus taught the people in the Sermon on the Mountain. And I just want to bless you right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to read verse number 12. And the picture here now that we want to have is that you have Jesus up on a mountain, a little higher up. You probably have about 4,000 or 5,000 people below. And the way that I think about it is simply this. They had no loudspeakers at that time. They could not magnify the sound or amplify the sound. So I believe that the Holy Spirit simply was there. So every person heard as Jesus was sitting down. He even sat down. He didn't stand. And so here's what he said now in verse number 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you word that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's a simple verse. If you think about it, it's really a foundation in the kingdom of God. Therefore, what you want people to do to you, do to them. In other words, you don't have to go and take a class in college or university to find out, how can I do good? You don't have to do that. Just think about, what do you want people to do to you? Well, I want people to be nice. When I drive in the traffic, I like people to give me a break. I like people to fellowship with me. And, you know, at times you receive gifts from someone. You go and eat to each other's houses and so on. In other words, what I like to have done to me, this is what I should do to others. Very simple. Genius. Jesus could have simply had a discourse and said, here's what you do, this and this and this and this and that. And we forgot it. There's no list. He said, the way you want people to act to you, react to you. That's how you react to them. If you're a sour puss, well, you're going to get that back. Who wants to hang around a person that's negative all the time? You want to hang around people that are cheerful, positive, that have faith, that believe that God can do things. So if you apply this verse in your life, it is working very well. There have been times, you know, you can't do small things. There have been times you're standing in the line to check out for food, and I have had a cart, and I see a person coming in with one or two items, and I simply say, "Hey, why don't you go ahead on me? You just got a couple of items." "Oh, well, I take my turn." "Go ahead." And it's amazing when you see people, you do that to them. Or you drive down the street, and there's heavy traffic, and you have about 50 cars behind you, and you see this car sitting in and trying to get out. And you know this, there's a whole bunch of cars. So many times I just slow down and stop, and I go, "Go." And the person, oh, thank you. You know, it cost me maybe 15 seconds. People honk behind me. You ever had that? You know, which is small stuff that makes your day. I learned this. Whatever you do, it comes back to you. So even small things, whatever it is, be courteous, kind, loving, and share with other people, and they will love you. Let's go on to the next point here. The straight gate. Straight means narrow. Understanding this verse, you need to know some things. There was a fortified wall surrounding the city of Jerusalem. By the way, all cities and villages at the time of Jesus had walls around them. There were a number of gates which provided access to and from the city. On the eastern side in Jerusalem, facing the Mount of Olives, was a small gate known as the Mercy Gate. They also called it the Golden Gate. It was also known as the Straight, Narrow Gate. If you know the background now, so here's Jesus sitting on a mountain, and he's talking to people. He sees in his mind the wall in Jerusalem. He see that gate on the east side, straight. And now, let's read verses 13 and 14 and see what he says. "Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many there be go in therein. Because straight or narrow is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be that find it." When Jesus was teaching this man, he had not yet revealed the salvation plan. But people listening to him, they knew about the Mercy Gate. He told the people that the road to heaven was not easy to find, since it led through a narrow gate of mercy. So Jesus said, narrow, enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many that be going therein, because straight is a gate and narrow is a way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus was now laying a foundation. For 3.5 years, he taught a little bit here, a little bit there, and so on. But Jesus knew that after his death and resurrection, the apostles and people that were next to apostles would be moved by the Holy Spirit. They would write these things down. So you and I today have a complete picture of what Jesus said. And so this is a warning that it is not easy to be saved, because The road is narrow, and the gate is narrow. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 right now. That's the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at chapter 2 this time. This was not known to the people standing there, but we know that now. So that's Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to pick it up in verse number 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The people at the time of Christ, they tried to keep the Ten Commandments. They had to go to the temple so often. They did the sacrifices. But they had not understood that to really be saved, to have eternal life, you could not work for it. It had to be by faith. I'm going to give you a bonus scripture here right now from Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to pick it up here in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was not saved by works. He was saved by his faith in God. Remember, God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac, and then he stopped him, and he provided a ram. And Abram understood then, I cannot pay for my sins. It has to be God, and I receive it by faith. Then back to Matthew 7, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14 again. That's Matthew 7. Enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. What is a gate today? Jesus said, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is a gate. To find out about Jesus, you got to read the Bible. Or you got to talk to somebody that knows it. So how do you go through this gate? First of all, it's a very simple thing that happened to me. You acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Then you simply acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross. He rose on the third day. And on the cross, God laid all the sins of the world from Adam and Eve to the last person living. And Jesus paid for all sins that anyone has committed, regardless of how bad they were. So now, it's like you have a bank. And in the bank is a deposit. It has your name on it. But as long as you're standing outside the bank or you don't go to the bank, you will never get the deposit. So how do you get the deposit? How do you walk into the bank? You simply says, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus paid for it. Jesus, I want to save you. I want you to save me. I want you to come into my life. I want to save me right now. That's the door. Very simple. You pray that prayer, and immediately the blood of Jesus covers you. Your sins are forgiven and removed. And at that moment, God gives you eternal life. So you know when your body dies, I got a ticket straight to heaven. That is the narrow gate. How many people know about it in the world? Not very many people. How can they know if we tell them? If we don't tell them, or if somehow they happen to get the Bible, somebody talk to you. Somebody in your life introduced you to the gate, Jesus. And you said, I believe it. And you walked through the gate and you were saved. Somebody touched you in your life. If you were a young person or a child or an adult. And that's why we have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We need to tell someone how to get saved. I am eternally thankful for the people that led me to Christ. I'm thinking about how horrible it would be not having salvation, dying, and going to hell. Let's talk about false prophets now. And we're going to read Matthew 7:15 first. So now Jesus switched. He had many subjects. I mean, he was talking probably pretty rapidly. And now he left the narrow gate. And now he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Why should we beware of false prophets? Because they give you false information. If I could take you in the spirit world, and I could take you to hell, and we would walk into hell, and we would ask the angels there, where do you keep the Mormons? And the angel says, well, there's a place over here where we get all the Mormons. So we walk over there. Here's Joseph Smith, Brigham Young. And the people there are cursing them. They're cursing them and saying, you stinking idiots. You're false preachers. You lied to us. We are here because you lied to us. Now, if you would say, excuse me, anyone in the Mormon group, can I ask you a question? They would quiet down and say, what's the question? Why are you here? Why I'm here? Because I was stupid enough to believe these jokers, these scumbags. And for years, I put my tithe in the Mormon church. I did mission work. I did all kind of things. I was married in the temple and sealed in the temple, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. Let's now ask the angel, where do you keep the Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they over here? We walk up there. You see Russell sitting there being cursed at, sweating. tormented, and here all the Jehovah's Witnesses are dead. And you ask one of them, what happened? Well, someone came to my house. They had what was called a watchtower. They gave me a tract, and I read it, and it was intriguing. And before I knew it, I bought into it. And I wore many shoes, knocking on doors. And now I'm in hell. Then we asked the angel, where do you keep the Muslims? Well, they're over here. If you go over there, there are millions of them. And there is the prophet Muhammad being tormented. And the Muslims are screaming at him, you cursed SOB, you're bad. You're... They're just cursing him. He's sitting like this. And you ask him, Muslim, how did you get here? Well, I was born in a Muslim family. I was raised as a Muslim. And I died as a Muslim. I'm here. I never heard the gospel. On the street that we are here, I got a Muslim about 2-3 houses down the road. His wife is a Christian. She married an unbeliever. My wife went there one time and witnessed. And they let her in, were very nice and cordial, and she witnessed to this Muslim man. And he said, well, I appreciate your story. I appreciate it very much. But he said, I'm born a Muslim, I've lived a Muslim, I will die as a Muslim. He's still alive. But he got one leg in a banana peel and the other one is over hell. False prophets. You and I are fortunate that we have the Bible. And Jesus simply said, now, this is serious. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now there are many different false prophets. You have Freemasons. You got the homosexuals. You got all kind of different groups that are not Christians leading people into some kind of a faith. Socialism is a religion, so is communism. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I really want to hammer this home today so that you understand what a false prophet is. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and we're going to look in verses 6 and 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Prior to the resurrection and the day of Pentecost, no one knew that Jesus had paid for the sins of the world. That was hidden. It was then revealed after we had the day of Pentecost. Just a few days before Jesus was crucified, he sounded a warning about false prophets. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to pick it up. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to pick it up in verse 24 and 25. Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Back in the 1970s, there was a man in America by the name of Jim Jones. And Jim Jones simply was not a Christian. He knew about Christianity, he knew about the Bible. He was an opportunist. He was a false preacher. He came to first the city of Ukiah up here in California. And from Ukiah, he had built a following. And he moved down into the... Actually, he took people from Oakland. He was doing all kind of things, but he had a place up in Ukiah. And it was a place, it was a cult. Once you got there, you couldn't talk to anyone outside. You had to give all your money to them and so on. It was very rigid. So he decided this, Jim Jones decided, well, it's too hard to have this cult here in America. So he went to Dutch Guyana, which is on the north side of South America, little country. They bought hundreds of acres down there. And then he simply told his followers, "Let's leave Babylon." He used the scripture, "Let's get out of Babylon. We're going to go down to the paradise." 900 adults followed him, half of them black, half of them whites. And they relocated. They sold everything they had in California. And they moved down to Guyana, where he had built a compound. After a few years, some of them realized, "We are nothing but slaves. We work, we get nothing. We are servants, we are slaves." They started to contact their relatives in California, particularly in Oakland. And so they contacted a congressman. And so this congressman flew down to Guyana with his staff and to find out what was going on. So first they received him, and he talked to them and so on. And then Jim Jones simply said this, "We're going to kill this guy because he saw too much." So they had an airstrip there, and they simply had his assassin. They went up and they killed the congressman and almost a few other parties. And some of them were able to get on the airplane that took off. Well, Jim Jones knew now, you kill a congressman, you got all these American citizens here, the U.S. Army is going to come next. So he told his followers, I want you to understand this now. He said this, "We are persecuted by the devil and his people. And we're living here in paradise. They're going to come here and we don't want to be captured." He said, this is what he said God had told him. "We're all going to die. Let's leave this place here and die and go to heaven," quote unquote. So they had a big area where they had a lot of tables, picnic tables and so on, where they had the dining area. So the parents were told, we're going to have Kool-Aid, and we have cyanide in it. Ask yourself this. Do you have cyanide in your house? I don't. It's probably difficult to find. They probably won't sell it to you. But this guy had cyanide. Enough that they had vats of Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. And then Jim Jones says, okay, folks, minister to your children first. So the parents took and said to the children, go ahead and drink this. And the children drank it. They died almost instantly. And then Jones said, now, let's all drink this and go to heaven. And 900 adults, men and women, took the Kool-Aid, drank it, and died. Except Jim Jones. He had a bodyguard. He had about 5 or 6 bodyguards around him. And he simply said to the bodyguards, let's get out of here. He had a speedboat, or an ocean-going boat on the coast. And the guards looked at all the 900 people and the children dead. And they said, Jim Jones, you ain't going anyplace. They shot him right there. The story is true. You can go on the internet to find out. There are pictures of everything else. But what I want to tell you is simply this. If you are a mom and a dad, the most precious thing you have are your children. If somebody would come up to you and say, hey, we're going to die. Now, this is a Kool-Aid that has cyanide in it. Drink that. We want you to give it to your children first. As a parent, would you do that? You would say, no way. That's crazy. I will not do this to my children. Get away from me. But 900 people had become so demonized that they simply said, yes, Mr. Jones. Yes, Mr. Jones. They had pictures of them later. It took 2-3 days before it was not done. So they had people come down, took camera shot. And, you know, the bodies swell up when you have been dead, particularly in the heat. And you can see these grotesque bodies, 900, with just a sea of dead bodies, as they show that on television here in the United States. False prophets. So we need to really understand that. Let me again read from Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible they should deceive the very elect. A few weeks ago, the news broke from Kenya. There was a cult there, a sect. It was a man, called himself a pastor, and he had about a couple of hundred, maybe a couple of thousand people. And he simply said this, life is bad here on this earth. You want to go to heaven. He says, but this is what we're going to do. He says, I want you to go out and sit outside the camp and not eat, not drink, and just kill yourself. Hundreds of people wanted to be martyrs. They wanted to go to be with God, and they did that. But worst of all, they took their children, and they starved them and stopped them from having water. This guy is arrested now. They try to clean up the camp. But how in the world does a person become so stupid to listen to someone like that? Demons. And this is what Jesus said, beware. And how do you beware? you beware by understanding that demons will mess with your mind. Let's go down now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. One guy here that fits this picture is the Pope. The Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He's a false prophet. He has millions of people in that church system. He's telling people that don't pray to Jesus because Jesus doesn't save. The church saves. The Roman Catholics are told Jesus died for the church. And the church brings salvation by sprinkling as a baby, confirmation, confession, the last rites, all the paraphernalia that they have in the Roman Catholic Church. And there are millions of them. Now, one of the most famous members of the Roman Catholic Church is Joe Biden. I mean, that guy is very religious. He's a thief. He lies. Nancy Pelosi was a good Catholic. She believed in abortion and stuff, but, you know, she put some money in, you know, and they would give her communion after she bribed with some money. So let's look at his scripture here now. For such a false apostle, deceitful workers, transforming himself into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In this church that we have here, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we do not take up an offering in the services. We have an offering bag for people that like to give an offering, but we don't take up an offering. We don't charge people and say, well, you got to pay for this. I never charge for weddings. I never charge for doing funerals. The gospel is free. We live by donations. People are donating money because they want to. There are many of you watching us right now. I don't send threatening letters to you and say, you know, you got to give this month, you know, or I'm going to curse you. No, we don't. We simply present the gospel. The Holy Ghost is working, and the Holy Ghost keeps the system going. So any time when people say, well, to get into heaven, you got to put some money in here. You got to do this. You got to do that, you know. And that's what you know. No, this is a false system. In Colossians chapter 2, a little way up, that's Colossians chapter 2. Paul warns again. That's Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 8, beware lest any spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Buddhists, Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, Unitarians, Freemasons, they all out there. And there are people feeding at their tables. And they have a ticket straight to hell when they die. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I lived for 6 years in Salt Lake City, Utah. I had Mormons around me. They tried to witness to me. And that one guy, he had been a missionary. And he tried to convert me. And I told him this. I said, now, he said, you know, you're not going to make it, he told me. I said, listen, buddy, I'm going to trust Jesus all the way to hell. I'm going to trust Jesus. He got shocked. He said, you can't say that. I said, absolutely. I'm trusting Jesus all the way, and I'm not going to hell. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speak expressly, that in the latter time some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are seducing spirits, lying spirits, that are just trying to destroy you, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and command to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Now the Spirit speak expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. They have been Christians, and they are leaving the faith. Do you realize that most of the Mormons that are converted come from Christian churches? Most of the Jehovah's Witnesses are people converted from Christianity. And why? Because the Christians do not know the Bible. They don't pray. Many of them don't go to church. They are Christian in name only. And they are picked like ripe fruit. Let's flip over the outline. And now we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. If you see this here now, the pattern, what I want to do here today is simply this. False prophets, Jesus warned about it. The Apostle Paul warned about it. The Apostle Peter. Let's look upon this verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately, that means secretly, privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many shall follow them. It's amazing. False prophets are using demons, and people are attracted to them like flies to a nice dish. And then in verse 3, and through covetousness shall I with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. You have these false cults. We had Armstrongism, Herbert W. Armstrong. He created a religion all by himself. And he brought in millions of people into Armstrongism. And people believed him. He was a false prophet. And people got sucked into it. The last scripture that we're going to look at, 1 John chapter 4 now. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. Or have you ever heard that he should come, and even now already is it in the world. So do not believe every spirit. There are evil spirits. We have the Holy Spirit, and then we have evil spirits. And then 2 John. That's 2 John. And this is what the Apostle John says in verses 10 through 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partake of his evil deeds. Have you noticed? Mormons come to your door, want to give you material. Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, want to give you material. And you say, well, I take that, but I'm going to give you a tract. And they say this, no, we cannot receive it. We cannot take anything from you. We can give you, but you are contaminated. You take nothing. That's what they tell you. So John said here, when they come to your house, knock on your door, don't invite them in. If I have Jehovah's Witness to the Mormons, I stand outside and talk to them. I will not invite them into my house. You don't want demons into your house. If you're looking on the statistics here on world religions, there are 2 billion Muslims, 400 million Buddhists, 1.2 billion Hindus, 1.3 billion Roman Catholics. What do you think these Roman Catholics are going to say when they are in hell? What do you think they're going to say? There are 17 million Mormons. There are 8,700 Jehovah's Witnesses. No, 8,700,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. There are 3 billion born-again believers in Christ. There are 16 million Jews in the world. Look at these figures. Do you realize that the majority of the human race will end up in hell? The Christian church, we will never be able, even if we send out missionaries by the millions, we will never be able to reach the masses of people. Their fate is sealed. They will go to hell. Later, the lake of fire. It's a sad situation. You and I, you should simply, if someone says, are you a happy person? Yes, I'm a happy person. I'm one of the few that have my name written in the book of life. I'm going to heaven. That is worth everything. Think about it. When you die, your body dies. You're going to leave your houses, your cars, your clothes, your body. You're going to leave it all behind. Everything you work to get, you're going to leave it. And your soul and your spirit comes out. And then when you have the angels saying, we have a seat for you, we have a flight to heaven in the next 30 minutes. Please come and take your seat. And they put a white robe on you. You're going to go, hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, praise God. But then you're going to say, but I left so many behind. they were not saved. That's why the Bible says in Revelation that in chapter 22, that God will wipe away the tears. Let me read that so I don't misquote it. That's Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." After we are up in heaven, after the great white throne judgment, and we had a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, Jesus would come. Actually, the Father would wipe away the tears. He would take away the memory of your loved ones that died and went to hell. You will not remember them anymore. Because you cannot be in heaven for eternity and think about your aunt, your uncle, your wife, your husband, your child that went to hell. It will be torment. It will be wiped away. I read in my last statement here. Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith, and others served Lucifer as false prophets. These men have been in hell since they died, and their pernicious doctrine blinded the eyes of the unsaved, ensuring that billions of people never heard about Jesus. Hell is overflowing with misled people who were denied the gospel. If you've been watching me or listening to me today, and you says, you know, I'm not saved, or I'm not sure that I'm saved, here's what you do. Confess I'm a sinner. Confess and say, "God, I need to be saved." Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. And then say, "Forgive me, Father God, of my sins. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me." And Jesus will. When we finish here with the last prayer, the scene would change. You will see three crosses coming up. And you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles say, "My friend." And he would take you 10 minutes and make sure that you are saved. To those of you that are saved, and again, we got many people watching us and listening, and some of you are very devoted to Christ, some of you are less devoted. I mean, there's a gambit there. But I want you to think about this afternoon. This is the homework I want to give you. Go through this outline again, what I did. And then think about that most people living today would go to hell. These are people that work at the service station. These are people that are in the grocery stores. These are people that are in your job situation. These are people living in the block where you are, in the city, wherever you live. They're all around you. And they're perishing. And then ask yourself this question. Somebody came to me and gave me Jesus. Jesus, help me to reach at least one person a week for Christ. Just one person. Send one person my way that the Holy Spirit open up, that I can witness to. If all of us do that, more people will get saved. But here's the deal. Most of you during the week do not really witness to unbelievers. You might live a good life, righteous life. You're walking as a Christian. But you've never taken the time and said, hey, you, have you made a decision for Christ? Think about it. Beware of false prophets. Here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word. As always, the word. We thank you for it. And there are many out there that want to tell you that, well, it doesn't mean this and it doesn't mean that. And we got to change it a little bit here to adapt with the times. But no, we're going to stick with the Word of God. And it says in there, let God be true and every man a liar. So we thank you for the Bible. And Lord, I thank you for your blessing upon those that took the time to go to church today. Seems to be fewer and fewer people out there that do that. And I ask your blessing upon them. I thank you for the blessings that you've put upon me and the believers in Christ. And I just praise your name in Jesus' name. Also, I'm going to make a declaration and a proclamation for the state of California. Okay. This is for you, Governor Newsom. Okay. We're going to declare that in California, the month of June is Natural Family Month. Okay. It is the month to celebrate men and women being married, not living together, being married and having children. And it is now Natural Family Month. The month of June is Natural Family Month, and everything else has been abolished. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, "What you just said, exactly what does that mean?" Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious.
I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 20th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, The Golden Rule. Jesus emphasized it is important to treat others in the same way you want to be treated. The Golden Rule is a spiritual law, but it doesn't save anyone because only repentance and faith in Jesus brings salvation. The Son of God emphasized that the road to heaven is narrow in comparison to the broad road that leads to hell. The road to destruction is wide and easy to navigate. The God-man warned that false prophets would arise to spread their diabolical beliefs, cause great damage to the church, and convince many to follow them. This warning was echoed by the apostles Peter, John, and Paul. Time has confirmed the words of Jesus as Luciferian agents with pernicious doctrines have blinded the eyes of the unsaved down through the centuries. Billions of people never heard about God's redemption plan, and hell overflows with the misled people who were denied the gospel. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1915. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.